and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Wednesday, November 27th, 2019. South Sudan reacts to the recall of the U.S. ambassador.
It contradicts the position of the United States early on, that says the peace should be done inclusively. All stakeholders in the peace must agree to the implementation of the peace.
And South Sudan's new head of revenue collections is accused of breaking the law by the former revenue authority chief.
If you go to the Ministry of Finance system right now,
if you add the dollar components, which is about $351 million, and then the 2.8 million pounds, so to me, with these 4 months into the fiscal year, the National Revenue Authority has already exhausted its national budget.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government says it is disappointed with the U.S. State Department's decision this week to recall its ambassador to South Sudan. South Sudan's Ministry of Foreign Affairs says the decision is inconsistent with U.S. efforts to deal with the situation in South Sudan. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
U.S. Ambassador to South Sudan Thomas Hasek was recalled on Monday in what is widely viewed as the first U.S. diplomatic protest against the government of South Sudan over its failure to meet the extended deadline for forming a unity government. Ambassador Mayuen Makol, spokesperson at the South Sudan Ministry of Foreign Affairs, says the U.S. move to recall its ambassador to South Sudan contradicts the position of the U.S. government on the political situation in South Sudan, calling it a double standard.
Because it contradicts the position of the United States early on, that says the peace should be done inclusively. All stakeholders in the peace must agree to the implementation of the peace. But now here, the two parties, the main parties, which is the opposition leader and the president of the country, agreed that outstanding issues have to be given a time for them to be able to be foot on the ground.
U.S. State Department spokesman Morgan Ortagas issued a statement confirming the decision to recall Ambassador Thomas Hasek for consultations. The U.S. says while Hasek is in the U.S., he will meet with senior U.S. government officials as part of the re-evaluation of the U.S. relationship with the government of South Sudan. McCall says the U.S. needs to do more to help South Sudan achieve lasting peace.
We are still urging the U.S., as I said before, to reconsider the position that they have taken now and come back on board and support this country. When we talked about the diplomatic norms, there are issues that the United States should not terribly reach into, including questioning the legitimacy of the president. It doesn't help the relations.
Although McCall has said the decision will not affect relations between the two nations, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has crossed what he calls diplomatic lines of engagement between the two countries. He says the decisions taken by President Kiir are legitimate and requires backup not only from within South Sudan but also from long-time partners like the United States.
This issue of challenging the president himself personally does not help the relations. Yeah, because whatever the president makes here represents the aspiration of the people of South Sudan. And that's why people of South Sudan supported the extension 100 days.
Following the party's second extension of the pre-transitional period earlier this month, the Trump administration warned it would continue to sanction any individuals blocking the road to peace in South Sudan. The United States officially recognized South Sudan as a country in July 2011 and in 2012. Former U.S. President Barack Obama instructed his Secretary of State to send defense articles and defense services under the Foreign Assistance Act of 1961 to South Sudan. A team of 5 American officers were dispatched to Juba to advise the South Sudanese military a short time later. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
A South Sudanese economist is criticizing the new head of the National Revenue Authority, General Erjab Bullen, for transferring millions of taxpayer dollars to the NRA's operations account. Bullen tells South Sudan in Focus that Finance Minister Salvatore Garang approved the cash transfers after Bullen requested those transfers. Former NRA Commissioner General Olympio Adepo, who is currently under house arrest for allegedly opening a private account in Mombasa, says his successor broke the law. Lasuba Memo has more for VOA from Juba.
Erjab Bullen authorized a commercial bank to remit revenue collections for November and October into a government account and for some of the money to go into the institution's operations account. Bullen says he requested the Ministry of Finance for the transfers to pay off a contractor who was demanding $3 million for use of his premises at Nimule Checkpoint and to compensate some residents who lost their land due to new office construction near the NRA.
So we contacted the Minister of Finance in written. The letter was Minister of Finance. Now we have an obligation. We have to address that. We have to pay this contractor either half of the money or full of the money. The Minister of Finance responded, yeah, we will pay him $1 million from the collection. And that's why the 2% has increased. It was remitted to our account.
In the first cash transfer authorization letter dated November 8th, Bullen ordered the Juba-based Nile Commercial Bank to wire $2.5 million from the November collection, and from it $1,582,742 into the National Revenue Authority account. A more than $79,000 balance was transferred to the Finance Ministry's account with the Central Bank of South Sudan. In an earlier letter dated October 11th, Bullen instructed the same bank to remit £991,922,819 into the NRA account and more than $250 million SSP into the Finance Ministry's account. Ahmed Morgan is an economist and lecturer at the University of Juba. Morgan says such transactions at the NRA are not in line with government policies.
I think it is not right because they need to make their annual budget, okay, for operational costs, which should be released by the Minister of Finance as any other institution of the government. It should be part of budget of the government.
Morgan says all revenue collections should first be remitted into the government's account and then the Ministry of Finance allocates cash transfers within the fiscal year budget framework. Chapter 9 of the 2016 South Sudan National Revenue Act stipulates that only up to 2% of the non-oil revenue collections can be transferred to the operating account of the National Revenue Authority. The numbers indicate that the NRA transferred to its account more than 50% of the country's revenue collections. Former NRA Chief Olympio Adepo says the acting commissioner general overstepped his mandate and acted unlawfully.
If you add the dollar components, which is about $351 million, and then the £2.8 million, so to me, with these 4 months into the fiscal year, the National Revenue Authority has already exhausted its national budget approved by the National Parliament and overspent £2 million. How are they going to survive for the next 8 months for the fiscal year to end?
The NRA's annual budget is 500 million South Sudanese pounds. Adepo says the huge cash transfers far exceed that amount and tax revenue is down.
Revenue has fallen within the same period. How can
The revenue has fallen within the same period. How can you now turn to say you have collected more? So what a contradiction does he make? On what basis does the revenue fall? And on what basis has it increased? I am a professional. When I mention figures, I know where exactly they come from.
National Revenue Authority's most recent cash transfer has caused public outcry among South Sudanese who had already questioned the rationale behind firing Olympio Adepo. A recently published UN panel of experts report said a private account purported to have been opened by Adepo in Mombasa to divert public funds is actually a debit account, meaning an individual cannot withdraw cash from that account. Morgan says the NRA must do its work in a transparent manner and follow the law. For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
Lecturers at Dr. John Garang Memorial University have suspended examinations and went on strike today to protest salary delays. The head of the teachers' union at the university says the government has been extending payment dates for several months now without explanation. Some students there say they are worried because they don't know when they will be able to finish their examinations. Winnie Serino has the story for VOA from Juba.
Valmar, chairman of Teachers Association at Dr. John Garang Memorial University, says he heard over the state-owned television network that the Minister of Higher Education and the Vice-Chancellors were to meet again to decide on when to pay the lecturers. He says the lecturers went on strike to demand their back salaries be paid.
Salary delayed for about 5 months, and there was almost an agreement that there is going to be salary structure, the new salary structure, that would now be used for paying the teaching staff for public universities. This one delayed for a long time, and till yesterday, another 1 week was given for this one to be deliberated on again by the minister and the BCs of the universities. So that one prompted the teaching staff to say that 2 weeks is too long.
Nor sees the lecturers decided to strike during examinations week to send a clear message to the government that lecturers will not be taken advantage of by government officials.
The strike is on until the government promises to pay us, and when. And are they paying us with a new salary structure or with old salary structure? If it is old, we still refuse. If it is new, then when? They tell us when. Say that we call the strike off.
Ajit Solomon, guild president of Dr. John Garang University, says students have blocked the streets in support of the teachers. He says students started exams on the 18th and are supposed to finish on the 30th. Solomon says some students have already finished writing their exams, but those who took heavy courses loads are the ones affected by the strike.
Most of us would have finished on Saturday. The exam is now being postponed until further notice, of which we may not know when will the government will pay their salary. So we mean that some students will have no exam, maybe, and they are likely to finish the other term maybe by next year, which is so terrible.
Solomon is calling on the government in Juba to pay the lecturers immediately so that students can resume their exams. Major General Joseph Mayen, the police commissioner of Jonglei State, says state authorities are aware of the strike. He is asking students who blocked the streets to return to campus.
The message had been heard already. Now, we need you to go back to your compound. Then, you listen what the government of Jonglei will say, will do today, will be conveyed to you. So, we need you that to go back to your compound.
The students say they will support the lecturer strike. South Sudan in Focus contacted Professor Abraham Matochdal, Vice-Chancellor of Dr. John Garang Mausoleum, but he declined to comment, saying, quote, "This is not the time for talking." For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Sudan's government prepares to scrap the controversial Public Order Act. Find out more when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's the best and worst thing about the first day of school?
You get to meet new friends, you get to interact with others apart from home. But still, I will still have that part of me missing my family, my siblings, all the laughter, all the jokes we've done. So it's going to be a bit 50-50, actually.
All in all, the worst thing is also, since it is a new environment, adaptivity matter a lot. And also, you start counting down, when shall I get back, what can I do with this and that.
It is the best when I meet my friends, because it make me to socialize with them. Because if I'm alone at home, sometimes I feel lonely if there is nobody at home. But if I came and I got my friends, to feel happy to be among them.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Members of the Sudanese Development Association, a group of vendors who sell tea and food, say the Sudanese transitional government should enact laws to protect their businesses. Some association members say they will get involved in upcoming national elections and will work to elect their own representatives in national and state assemblies. For VOA, Michael Atit has more on that story.
Many women say they are victims of the 1996 Public Order Act, which targets women working in public places like markets. Section 18 of the Act states that any person who exercises peddling or crossroads and side streets, or exhibits merchandise or goods or offers service in the main markets, shall be punished with 50 lashes or imprisonment up to 1 year, or both, and the possible confiscation of the goods displayed. 50-year-old Faiza Ismail El Fagali has been selling locally made perfumes, snacks, and clothes for more than 10 years in Khartoum. Speaking in Arabic, El Fagali says her goods have been confiscated several times by the police. She says women should show up in the force in the next elections to secure seats in the assembly.
We want one of us to represent us in the upcoming transitional legislative council so that we can be where laws are enacted, which is going to be as our constitution. We want to find ourselves there, and it will protect us and protect our other sisters.
23-year-old Rabha, who prefers to use only her first name for privacy reasons, sells tea on the streets of Khartoum. She says she was sexually harassed several times by customers. Speaking in Arabic, Rabha says she supports the idea of enacting a law that protects girls and women working in markets under difficult circumstances.
I am the youngest in our family, and after we lose our father, there is no one that could support us apart from my mother. So I decided to join my mother in the market to sell tea so that we can support our brothers. I start the work while still studying. Now I learn a lot from the market, and I am able to face many challenges and able to tolerate different personalities.
Our dear Mahmoud Kuku heads the Sudanese Development Association. Speaking in Arabic, she says Sudan's revolution opened the doors to more freedoms in the country, but women still need protection.
We are a vulnerable group, and if the government really wanted to help poor people, they should come and ask us. Many of us are sick, and we don't have a permanent income. If I don't work for one day, the next day, I will not have any other money to help our kids.
Naimat Abubakar works for a local NGO called Munasara, which means advocacy. She says the non-profit has registered more than 27,000 women in Khartoum who works as tea sellers.
There is no law, actually, cover their work, and by the end of the day, they have been targeted by the local authority because they work on the street at the same time. So we start this training about they have to realize their situation. They are not recognized by the law. And this should be the main ask to the new government, that we need to legalize our situation.
Abubakar says Sudanese society has the wrong perception about women who sell tea or food in public places, and it is time to change that attitude. The 1996 Public Order Act was established in Sudan during the regime of former President Omar al-Bashir. The act also forces women to cover their heads all time and wear a long pajama with long sleeves. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
And this week in Khartoum, Sudan's Transitional Council of Ministers approved a draft bill by the Minister of Justice to scrap the Public Order Act. Human rights activists call the move a good step towards ending human rights violations across Sudan. Michael Atit has that report from Khartoum.
The 1996 Public Order Act targets women working in public places. Section 18 of the Act states that any person who exercises peddling on crossroads and side streets, or exhibits merchandise or goods or offers service in the main markets, shall be punished with 50 lashes or imprisonment up to 1 year, or both, and the possible confiscation of the goods displayed. Sudan's Information Minister Faisal Mohamed Saleh says the draft bill to cancel the Public Order Act has been discussed and passed by all members of the Council of Ministers. Speaking in Arabic, he says three bills, one on rebuilding law institutions, another one that bans National Congress Party activities, and the one to lift the Public Order Act will likely pass quickly.
The Council of Ministers have discussed on these three bills and instructed the Minister of Justice to incorporate the needed observations into the past bill and have it ready this week for a joint meeting between the Council of Ministers and the Sovereign Council for final pledgings.
Article 24.3 of the Sudan's constitutional document, it states that until the Legislative Council is formed, the Council's powers are invested in the members of the Sovereign Council and the Cabinet, who exercises them in a joint meeting and take decision by consensus or by two-thirds majority of members. Mahassin Abdallah, a human rights activist working for a local NGO, No Women Oppression, welcomes the move. Abdallah says she has been arrested several times.
We went outside protesting about these kind of laws. And when some ladies have been detained, they arrested us many times. And we also come and go. You call it reporting every day. This is three or four times I have been arrested, me and my colleague.
Khartoum resident Isra Osman, who is a Muslim, also welcomes the decision, adding Sharia law does not force all Sudanese citizens to follow the Sharia. She says scrapping the public order law could help many Sudanese women and girls realize their potentials in life.
This law it feels like it was directed to women, to suppress women. It's very common that this law is loose, inaccurate, and violates the human rights.
Another Khartoum resident, Hiba Ali, has a different opinion of view. Speaking in Arabic, Ali says she does not see changes happening for Sudanese women even if the Public Order Act is abolished.
Sudanese women are very conservative and they observe their religion, social and culture. I don't think it will add or change anything on her. What I know is that this law was oppressed to some women, and the regime meant it for different purposes.
Members of the Sovereign Council and Council of Ministers have scheduled a meeting for tomorrow to discuss all the bills. For VOA News, I am Michael Atid in Khartoum.
Some South Sudanese fashion designers in the capital, Juba, say they disagree with people who portray South Sudan as a war-torn country. Akur Majak, the organizer of Juba's Fashion Week, says South Sudanese girls have talent, and if given a chance to compete in international fashion shows, they will take the fashion industry by surprise. Viola Elias has the story for VOA from Juba.
23-year-old Susan Makur is 6 feet tall. She says she would like to represent South Sudan in the fashion industry. Makur says she has had difficulties trying to land a contract with any fashion industry in South Sudan. She says some young South Sudanese girls have height and the skin tone to become an international model, like the famous model Alec Wek, who is a British South Sudan citizen. She says South Sudanese parents should allow their daughters to get involved in the fashion industry.
From the first time, my parents didn't like it. They were like, no, modeling is not good. It can make you learn bad manners and a lot of things. But then I insisted and I was like, no, I know why I'm doing it, so I have the talent. You just leave me, let me go out there. I'll just stick on whatever I'm doing, and when it's done, I just come home.
23-year-old Ajok Mabior, another prospective South Sudanese model, says she started modeling in Egypt and won an award in 2013. Speaking in Arabic, she says she was able to beat Egyptian models in the competition.
We were about four South Sudanese who worked as models in Egypt, and we were so famous. We felt so good working as models in a foreign land, and we have proven to them that we South Sudanese can work everywhere, not necessarily in South Sudan.
Akur Majok is a Juba-based fashion show organizer. She says South Sudanese have a lot of potentials.
So the theme for this year is Women of South Sudan for South Sudan. Yeah, it's a high time for us women to stand up and then unite. We come as one, and then I think we can do so much change in the country.
Helen Hivita, a former beauty queen at Kenya Methodist University and model trainer, says many South Sudanese are interested in the fashion business.
I want to appreciate our talent. It's not okay. We have South Sudanese models representing us outside there. Like, the models in the country are not really appreciated. Because I am really passionate about models, I know what modeling has done to me as a person, and so that's why I came to support Akur with her event to train the models.
Stella Alex, who attended the Juba Fashion Week, says she was excited to see young, beautiful South Sudanese women catwalking on the runway, something she had only seen previously on television.
I am impressed that we have beautiful models, talented ones, and I would like to urge, if there are people out there who love fashion, to do something about it. Because at this point, if fashion industry is pushed to go internationally, it will portray good image, and people out there will know that we have talent, not only in music or comedy.
Bonnie Joseph, who also attended the Fashion Week, says modeling should be encouraged in South Sudan.
And then I think fashion is one of the things that can bring people together, because this thing is so good that shows sometimes our culture, our tradition.
Akur says she plans to invite government officials, non-governmental organizations, and others to come and witness young people showcase their talent in the upcoming fashion show next year in Juba. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
That is our show for this Wednesday. We leave you now with the song DJ Tasman with the legendary Freddie Mayway.
Ne m'appelle plus Atalaku. Je suis DJ Tougou. Ne m'appelle plus Atalaku. Je suis DJ Tasuma.
Ce soir c'est chaud, on va faire le show. Y'a go tango, y'a bora de go. C'est très chaud, on va faire le show. J'ai tué l'enjaillement de go. Tasuma tae, na tasuma ta. Baba sore, Shiba ta na pas mata o, Abu Dajer bo na di feta, Dajer feita na pas mage o, Bouye le feu, on s'en fout des couvre feu.
DJ,
hey, hey. DJ Sabin,
DJ
Mathieu Wadja, DJ Julien Adam, DJ,
DJ,
DJ for your Big Ben, Big Joe, DJ Rams. Kasum Epe the Nom
DJ
Nino Fato Dodging the best Green Sky
DJ
DJ Christy B Tessiré Procureur
DJ
DJ Jeff Atata Kenny Dakuri
DJ
Aladi Koutouya
Le Grand Moudan
Akala Kati Chacho Akumba Bobo Bobo
Baswe
Adima Oho
Siu
Sakratia Abudu
Sia
We've been listening to Mayway from the Ivory Coast with the song DJ Tasman. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Thanks for listening today. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Solo